from Luke's gospel in chapter 20, beginning here with verse 27. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving him a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman and died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and so in the same way all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Well, in this confusing story that the Sadducees present for us today, in who we would be married to in the resurrection, I'm kind of envious in some ways of my friends who've chosen a single lifestyle. They don't have to worry about such complications, do they? Unless there's truth in this story that I once heard of three persons who died and went to heaven who were single. And as they approached the pearly gates and entered in, Peter said to them, welcome home, good and faithful servants. There's only one rule you have to follow here. Don't step on the ducks. And lo and behold, not long into eternity, one of the faithful sojourners who's crossed over stepped on a duck. And there were ducks everywhere. I mean, they were on the golden streets, on the beautiful sea. You couldn't look around without seeing a duck. And sure enough, as soon as the person got far out of Peter's sight, man, he stepped on a duck, and that duck threw a fit. Quack, quack, quack. And I mean, you would have thought everything was about to come to an end. And here comes Peter, just as soon as the duck was stepped on and holding the hand of, well, the most homeliest person this man had ever seen. And he chained them together and said, your punishment for stepping on the duck is that you are in eternity for the rest of your existence with one another. It wasn't much longer to a few days later, one of the other single persons stepped on a duck, and this person came walking up with Peter and was even more or less appealing, looking and less attractive than the other. And Peter said, your punishment for stepping on the duck is that you're stuck with this person forever. Years went by. The other person had been very cautious, minding his way with the ducks, until one day, here comes Peter walking up with the most beautiful person he'd ever seen, filled with kindness and grace and dignity. And Peter locked them together, and the man said, oh my goodness, what must have I done to be blessed with such a gift? And to that the woman said, I don't know what you did, but I stepped on a duck. I share that story not to take lightly my friends who've chosen not to be married and celebrate a single lifestyle. Many of us have friends who've chosen that type of lifestyle and have done so with great peace and love and joy with family members, friends, and others that they work with, work family, who help them live into the holiness of God-blessed relationships. But I think we do need to hear what Jesus is saying to us specifically for those who choose a married lifestyle, of how to live into those relationships in a way that honors God and shares and helps us grow in love for each other and the world around us. You know, oftentimes when I'm asked to share in holy matrimony with a couple, lead them and officiate at their wedding time, one of the first statements that I make is I want to make a commitment to not only the wedding, but your marriage. I want to go through pre-marriage counseling with you. And often Case Manya and I both will meet with the couple to give them some of the advice we've learned in our marriage and advice from the faith and scripture of how to join together not only as two, but three, with Christ centered in their marriage. And oftentimes I'll say, and this is not in judgment, but it's just simply seems to be an observation of the culture we live in today. It seems disturbing that oftentimes people will spend months, maybe a year, planning a wedding that will only last minutes and will only spend minutes planning for a marriage meant to last a lifetime. So as we consider this holy relationship that Jesus alludes to in our text today, may we, as those who nurture and mentor our family members or those seeking for someone to share our life with, approach that as a holy journey, asking God to guide us and nurture us and sustain us in that relationship once it begins forever. Because you see, at the heart of this story today, as these Sadducees come to Jesus with this expression of seven different men being brothers that married this woman, at the heart of their question, it's really not about marriage. It's a question about, is the resurrection real? And if it's real, as the Sadducees believed that it wasn't, how can it make sense in the common structure of living relationships that we have now? So at the heart of their question, if you'll listen closely, they pose the question and Jesus responds in this way. He said, in the resurrection, people will neither marry or be given in marriage. Now, what we need to understand to unpack that statement from Jesus is that marriage in the first century Palestine was quite different from our understanding of marriage today. Marriage was more of a legal contract, more of an exchange, unfortunately, of property that one man received from another. That was kind of how the relationship was perceived. A wife was his. Hence the words of our scripture today where Jesus said, that's not the way it's going to be. You will no longer, ladies, be given in marriage. Jesus is not saying that we won't have holy relationships in heaven as we had on earth. What he's saying is marriage, our relationships, whether they're married, personal, friends, parents, children, won't go away, but they will be perfected. No more would you be property. No more would you simply be something given. You are joined together in holy love that will be without end. So, Reese, I've got bad news for you. You're not getting away from him anytime soon. Our relationships that we know now, we will be fully known. Isn't that how Paul says it? In 1 Corinthians 13, we see now only vaguely, but we will surely and fully be known even as we're known. And Jesus said, as he alluded to in the scripture, to the Sadducees today, he said, here's proof of the resurrection. Here's proof that we'll know each other in the great by and by. When Moses and those who were journeying toward the promised land, at the burning bush, Moses heard from God who said this, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Not, "I was the God of Abraham, I'm still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they are still and know me, and I know them as they know one another." So friends, hear good news today. We will know and we will be known by those who God's entrusted us with most of all in loving relationships. So if that's the truth that Jesus is leading us to in our text today, it presses me to say then, if that is the hope to come, a fullness of loving relationships that we know now, how do we begin more fully living into faithful, loving relationships even in the here and now, whether they be marriage relationships, parent-child relationships, co-worker relationships, or church community relationships? Well, Paul gives us a glimpse of what those loving relationships are in 1 Corinthians 13. Many call that the love chapter, where Paul describes love, the type of relationships we should conduct with those who are closest to us and those who are furthest from us, when he says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love insists on the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Those are the type of relationships that we want to build even now as we grow into a life without end. You see, when you think of eternity, in Christ, that's not something to come. We are living into God's eternity right now. So why not live into the Lord's Prayer when we say, "Your kingdom come on earth"? How do we help the kingdom of Christ come to earth? We live out love every day in all of our relationships. Now, you often hear me say as your pastor, we feel the push and challenge of that scripture where I'll say we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. We get that. We understand that's the call to this faith. And we understand it's a hard calling. It's hard to love everyone as we love ourselves. And then as good Christian people, we hear that call to love. We also know where Scripture says you don't even love just the neighbor. You love even your enemies, those that's hardest to love. And we get that. We understand. But here's the rub, I think, in our text today. Not only are we called to love those out there as our neighbor, but we're called to love those God has gifted us with most, with the same kindness that we give even to strangers. I say it this way. You've heard me share this story before of a man and woman who were once riding on a subway. They were in downtown Faulkner and it was quite busy. They were packed in the subway. And the man accidentally stepped on the woman's foot and she elbowed him in the ribs and said, "You stepped on my foot." And then she turned around to give him that glare to make the point even more adamantly. And she looked upon him and horror came on her face. She said, "I'm sorry. I thought you were my husband." We laugh because it's true. But here's Paul's words today. Can we give the same love we give to strangers to those God has gifted us with first and foremost? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way, but insists on the truth. Friends, that's the high calling of our faith, of how we live into these relationships that are without end. Heaven is for real. Isn't that at the heart of this question today too, of the Sadducees? But if we're honest, isn't that the heart of the question of all of us at times? Don't we all? When our faith is fragile, wonder, is there something really after this life? God, we find ourselves confessing like the person who sought out Jesus. And Jesus said, "Do you believe?" And his response was this, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." Don't we all at times have questions? And God gives us answers through his love. Friends, heaven is for real, Jesus says, because love is for real, and love and life have conquered death and hate forever. That's the promise of Scripture, that as the body weakens, dear friends, the soul does not. God's promise from Christ is sealed in us forever, and because he lives, we too will live. Jesus said he is the God of the living. He said that even as Moses, Abraham were known by Jesus at the transfiguration, we too will know and will be known, for God will be there in heaven. Love will be there. Those we've known who've gone before us will be there when our eyes close. They'll open to see the face of the one who's loved us from the beginning, and there will be no end. You see, I think we need those words of life when we face grief ourselves, when we face loss, or our own decline and our own immortality is upon us, or the thought of loss of those that we love. Friends, I inspire you today to hold on to hope. Because in Jesus Christ, there are no goodbyes. Through his life-giving love, by simply trusting in him in whatever way that looks like, doesn't always mean walking down the aisle of the church or saying your words just right. The thief on the cross said simply this, "Lord, remember me." And that was enough. By trusting in him to be the Savior of us, we will be with him and our loved ones forever. Amen. Friends, let's respond.